This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
We'll go ahead and get started with the Senate Judiciary Committee inaugural meeting. Yesterday was introductory. So anyway, first of all, I'd like to call on our pages to come forward one at a time and just introduce yourself to us, if you would.
I'm Natalie Fawcett.
And where are you from?
I live here in Pierre.
Okay, very good.
I'm James Lusk from Millbank.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being here and helping us out. We greatly appreciate it. At this time, I'd ask the committee secretary to call the roll.
Senator Blair?
Here.
Kennedy?
Here.
Northrup?
Here.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Stalzer?
Here.
Rush? Excused. Russell?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, we have a quorum.
Thank you so much. And this year, we have new committee staff, and that is very important to us. Wenzel was by request, and I greatly appreciated him doing this because he's code counsel and didn't have to staff a committee. So we're very lucky. The first 2 years that I was chairman of the committee, we had Wenzel, and he did a marvelous job, and he was begged to come back. So I greatly appreciate it. And Barb, it's her first year, and she replaces Mrs. Ortbahn. And I accused Mrs. Ortbahn of firing me, but we are very thankful to have you, and thank you for being here and helping us out.
Thank you.
With that, I think if you don't have anything else for me to do for house cleaning, we'll launch right into our bills. I see the Attorney General is here. Please come forward, if you would. The first bill is Senate Bill 25, an act to establish certain requirements to maintain state compliance with the Master Settlement Agreement. Good morning. Please introduce yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and good morning to you and the members of the committee. Jason Roundsburg, Attorney General for South Dakota, and my Chief of Staff, Tim Borman.
Welcome.
As you are aware, most likely aware, the state of South Dakota entered into what we call the Master Settlement Agreement regarding tobacco. The state receives approximately $25 million a year from that settlement agreement. That is an ongoing ongoing funding of us, but we have certain obligations that we have under that agreement, including to have due diligence and updating it as we go along. So Mr. Borman will address those specific concerns.
Go ahead, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In 1998, as the Attorney General said, South Dakota, along with 46 states and five territories, entered into that settlement known as the Master Settlement Agreement. That was with the major cigarette manufacturers. The settlement was for billions of dollars, which will be paid in perpetuity to the settling states. The settlement entailed conditions that every settling state has to meet. One of those, as mentioned, was diligent enforcement of the terms of the agreement, which meant that there were certain manufacturers of cigarettes that did not participate in the original Master Settlement Agreement. Those would be known as non-participating manufacturers, or NPMs. Those individuals had to be properly taxed and their fees paid into an escrow account. Now, there's a lot of money at stake every year as far as the participating manufacturers and the states are concerned. So when it comes to diligent enforcement, we had to make sure that those were addressed. That was done through an NPM Adjustment Settlement Agreement, which South Dakota is a party to and signed on to. One of the provisions discussed legislation that participating states should enact, and the bill before you today is in response to that settlement agreement. The specific provisions of the agreement that the bill addresses are in response to more NPMs forming, trying to do business, going out of business, selling products in states where they've never before operated, and also some showing questionable financial security. So with that, as we go through each, the first of the terms in the bill that you're going to see is joint and several liability. This would impose joint and several liability with the non-participating manufacturers for the importer of the NPM cigarettes, meaning that if there are multiple parties involved, each party can seek contribution from each of the other parties to make sure that the escrow payments are paid. If one becomes insolvent, there's still a solvent party. They would make that payment into escrow as much as possible for them to pay into escrow on that account. The second one is the bonding requirement that we're looking at. It's hopefully pretty straightforward. It would institute a bonding requirement for any non-participating manufacturer to remain on the state directory of manufacturers. That's the stick and the carrot in this particular aspect that we're asking for. If the bond is not paid to help offset any lacking escrow payments, that manufacturer could then be removed from the South Dakota State Directory. Once removed from the directory, they could not sell cigarettes in South Dakota anymore until they came to that point. The third aspect in this bill is the confidentiality portion. This helps us more directly do our diligent enforcement as far as it relates to the tobacco statutes. Each year, as the Attorney General mentioned, South Dakota receives anywhere from $22 to $25 million as part of the settlement. That fluctuates per year. But as part of that, we have to do the diligent enforcement. One of the new attributes that was added on as part of the adjustment settlement agreement was to pass along information into a data clearinghouse nationwide as to our non-participating manufacturer sales each year. That comes through the quarterly tax returns that those non-participating manufacturers file with the Department of Revenue. Current South Dakota law does not allow us to disclose that information to a party like the data clearinghouse. Now, the first year we had to do this was last year, August of 2019. At that point in time, the Attorney General's office sought and obtained a court order allowing for the disclosure on that instance. This legislation would allow us to now release that information to the data clearinghouse once per year as required under the adjustment settlement agreement.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Anything further, Mr. Attorney General?
No, we believe it's pretty straightforward, but Mr. Borman's a subject matter expert in our office on tobacco, so if you have any questions, you can answer those for us.
Very good. Well, we thank you for that presentation. Any questions by members? Well, we need to go on and ask for our other proponents of the bill first. So, are there any other proponents? The Department of Revenue. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Jason Evans. I'm with the Department of Revenue. We rise in support of Senate Bill 25 as well. As Mr. Moorman mentioned, the Department of Revenue works closely with the Attorney General's office to administer the tobacco laws of the state and to perform that due diligence that he mentioned. In the weeks leading up to session, the Attorney General's office was gracious enough to reach out to us to share their ideas regarding this bill and to consider input that we might have regarding the bill as well. And for those reasons, we're very supportive of Senate Bill 25. We appreciate their efforts in maintaining compliance with the Master Settlement Agreement and would ask that the committee support the bill as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans, for your testimony. Any further proponent testimony? Hearing none, any opponent testimony? Hearing none, are there any questions by members of the committee? Senator Kennedy?
No.
I would move into action or discussion. Senator Stalzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move do pass.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Kennedy. Any discussion on the motion?
Since this appears to just be maintaining our status with the agreement and so on and making sure we continue receiving the revenue, I think it's something we probably need to do.
Thank you so much. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'd ask the Secretary to call the roll on the do pass motion.
Senator Blair?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Nordstrom?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Aye.
Stalzer?
Aye.
Senator Rush, excused. Senator Russell?
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay, the next bill we have is Senate Bill 27, an act to establish a missing persons clearinghouse. Mr. Attorney General.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In 2019, the legislature passed SB 164, which gave special direction to my office in the Division of Criminal Investigation regarding the data collection, collaboration, and investigation of missing, murdered, and indigenous persons. I request passage of SB 27 to further carry out that intention from SB 164 regarding missing, murdered indigenous persons. Our offices act as a missing person clearinghouse since 1986, but SB 27 formally establishes a missing person clearinghouse within DCI and empowers it to collect information on missing persons and to share that information not only with law enforcement but also with the public. Section 1, it defines a missing person and the missing person clearinghouse. Section 2 establishes the missing person clearinghouse and requires its use by law enforcement. Section 3 requires the clearinghouse to, 1, collect, process, maintain, and disseminate information about missing persons. The dissemination of information can be done by hard copy or electronically. Number 2, to develop training. 3, to cooperate with other state and federal agencies. 4, to maintain both an internet site accessible to the public and to law enforcement. 5, maintain education materials. And 6, compile statistics. Section 4 requires the law enforcement to report both to the National Crime Information Center and the Missing Person Clearinghouse. Number 5 requires the clearinghouse to serve as a repository for missing person information. It also clarifies that this act does not relieve law enforcement of their existing duties to investigate these types of crimes. Section 6 deals with how the clearinghouse handles information once a person is found. The clearinghouse can inform the public that the person has been found, and any other information concerning the public can only be shared with law enforcement. This section also requires that the information concerning an adult be purged once the person's location is determined and confirmed. If the person is a juvenile, and the information must be purged once they become 18. This helps with the repeat juvenile runaway and speeds the process of notifying the public. Most of the information coming to our office and DCI is confidential criminal justice information and can only be shared with law enforcement. This bill allows myself and my agency to share this information with the public to assist in locating missing persons. This bill is also very similar to the language used by the state of Nebraska, which adopted a very similar type of legislation in the last couple years. As you probably are aware, murder and missing indigenous persons has gotten a lot more media attention and has been used and passed by a number of our sister states like Montana and Nebraska, and they've been kind of leading the way. I do believe this is something that we should follow. And when I came into office, I did a review, and I saw that we have the same 7 people on my website that we've always had, it seems like. And so I think that we need to do some updating. And so this gives us further discretion to do so, and I believe it will give greater awareness to the public so that we can find people that are murdered, missing. And it's obviously very difficult to find someone when you don't know they're missing. And I'm sure most of you are aware of the situation that we had here in Pier, where we found a lady in the lake, and she'd been missing approximately 2 years. Well, but nobody was looking for her because nobody had reported her. And I think this will further communication with our Native American partners as well. And I've tried to do outreach based on the Murder Missing Indigenous Women Act and went around to a number of the different reservations last year after this passed, trying to reach out to them and have them provide me with information. And I believe this bill helps facilitate that as well. So I would ask that you pass this bill.
Thank you for your testimony. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 27. Seeing none, any opposing testimony, any opposition this morning? Also seeing none, any questions by members of the committee? Senator Kennedy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Attorney General, I've just got some questions about Section 6.
Okay.
Which is the purging of information section.
Okay.
because this website that you're creating in this bill is going to be accessible by the public, I'm concerned about the fact that the bill doesn't allow the removal of information regarding juveniles until after they become age 18. And I heard you say that your reason for leaving them on there is because they might be repeat runaways, and I understand that. But I'm wondering, don't you run the risk of having people who have run away, been found, been returned home, but remain on the website, continually being reported back into the system by people who observe them?
I guess that could be a possibility, but you could also clarify by adding language to it on the website, like this person has been found or something. And I think I would do that with all cases, not just juveniles, because I think I want to alert the public when I do find someone, you know, so that we can show the public that this is working as well, you know, that this person has been found, and also put out advisories, you know, again, commending the public or their due diligence. And I think that there can be some advisories added to that, I guess. Is my intent.
Well, and I noted with adults that the information regarding them is purged when the person's location is determined and confirmed. So you're not going to be leaving the adults on after they've been found and that's been confirmed. And I'm just concerned about why we're leaving the juveniles up there when we're taking the adults off.
Mr. Chairman, Charlie McGuigan with the Attorney General's Office. Senator Kennedy, the information, once they're found, they won't be on the publicly accessible website, but they will remain on the law enforcement website. And then after they turn 18, then it'll be purged completely from the system. It won't be on any database or system anywhere. And so the purging language actually deals with the overall database and not so much with the publicly accessible website.
May I follow up? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. McGuigan, again, though, going back to my first question, if you've got somebody on the database, even if it's not the publicly accessible database, after they've been located and that's been confirmed, don't you run the risk of confusion by having them continue to remain in there, even if it's just for law enforcement purposes? Because I could see a circumstance where an officer might very well look through this, see that somebody's listed as a missing person, see them on the street, pick them up, and take them in. And I'm not sure that's what you want to have happen.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kennedy, again, though, the idea behind retaining that information is to assist with repeat runaways. I don't think that... If you feel compelled to remove that and make it apply equally to everyone, all that's going to do is delay the time we can get the information out, but it would be a short delay.
Yeah. And if I may, my concern is that if they're still on the system, how does an officer know whether that person is, in fact, a repeat runaway at that moment in time or not? Well, they just know they're a missing person on the database, so they're going to assume they're a runaway even if they aren't.
Well, I guess, as I said earlier, it can be coded differently and show and retain the information of where they went last time and a certain internal information to the officer that, you know, they went to Millbank before or wherever they went, and give some leads to the officer if they're a repeat, which will not be seen by the public.
Certainly.
But if I understand you correctly, Mr. McQuiggan, it really wouldn't damage your intent to create this clearinghouse and operate the clearinghouse if we just said we're going to expunge information about anybody once their location has been determined
and confirmed. Well, thank you. Go ahead. Rusty.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Kennedy, the only damage that would occur is the delay that it would take to re-enter that information into the system and to notify the public and law enforcement. Like I said, that delay would probably be minimal.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions by members of the committee? Okay.
So my question is based upon what Senator Kennedy said, is there something that we can do to allay his fears that with the, would there be a friendly amendment, or maybe you should consider it between now and the floor, because he tends to get rather verbal on the floor from time to time.
No.
Senator Kennedy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure how to take that. I have a friendly amendment I would propose for consideration. Just looking at Section 6 of the bill, which appears on page 3, I would strike on line 9 the words, who is an adult? On line 10, I would strike everything after the period, and I would strike the entirety of line 11 and line 12.
Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second that motion.
We have a second by Senator Rush. Further discussion on the motion?
Mr. Chairman, just briefly, I think that addresses my concern that we are purging information off the database once people are found, so there won't be any confusion either in the public or on the part of any officers when they see someone who has been on the database and will know that, well, they might have been a runaway once, but they're no longer one.
Thank you, Senator Kennedy. At this time, I'd give the Attorney General's office an opportunity to address the amendment and tell us if you believe that it will be a friendly amendment, or, and also, what are the ramifications of such an amendment in your mind?
Well, I guess we would prefer the bill as written, but for one instance in Section 3, we develop training. We're going to advise and inform our officers and across law enforcement of how to use this clearinghouse and database to find all missing persons. And so we don't believe that the amendment is needed, but we, as Mr. McGuigan outlined, it would cause us some delay, but not a detrimental delay. I mean, we believe that having the information of prior history would be more beneficial, but we're still going to maintain that information, even if not on the clearinghouse itself. So,
and thank you for that. So, so would you agree with me that it's, you would consider it a friendly amendment?
That's fine. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Further questions by members of the committee? Okay. With that, any further discussion on the motion to amend? Okay. The motion to amend is that on line 9 that we would strike, who is an adult? And on line 10, we would strike all information in the clearinghouse and strike all language on lines 11 and 12 of the third page of the bill. Oh, and it's all up there on the screen for us. Thank you. Thank you, Wenzel. That makes it very easy. The red language is what will be stricken. Okay. Everyone clear on the amendment? Hearing no objection, I would ask, or I guess all we need is a voice vote. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion pass. Motion passes. We had one no. Further discussion on the amended bill. Okay, we have a do pass motion as amended. Any discussion on the final do pass motion as amended? Hearing none, I'd ask the secretary to call the roll.
Senator Blair?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
Nordstrom?
Aye.
Schoenbeck?
Aye.
Stolzer?
Aye.
Rush?
Aye.
Russell?
Aye. Motion passes. Further motion? No? Okay. With that, we completed our agenda for today, and I don't know... Did we get a number of bills yesterday or not? Did we get a couple?
I just think, yeah, one or two.
Okay, so we'll try and start at either 8:30 or 9 on Tuesday. And with that, I thank Senator Stalzer.
Yeah, I just have a quick question for staff. Since both of these passed unanimously, they go on consent since there was no opposition. Is that correct from what they said in...
Mr. Chair, Senator Stalzer, so long as there was no opposition, anything can be placed on consent. Yep.
Do we no longer have to make the motion?
Oh.
It looked like you were looking for a motion.
Yeah, I was, in fact. So, well, thank you for that. Makes it relatively easy. Okay, so with that, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
By Senator Rush, second by Senator Stalzer. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.